Pokemon course of life, Alex alongside Mike. And Mike, it's the second week in January. I contend this might be one of the better, if not the best, sports weeks of the year when you combine the NFL divisional playoff round with a lot of basketball and hockey and golf in Hawaii. It's just a really nice combo for sports lovers right now.
Yeah, you kind of come off that high of everything around New Year's. You kind of slow down for a little bit and then boom, you just power through strong again and you start getting everything coming at you.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm a spoiled Patriots fan, so last weekend is a weekend that I barely acknowledge. I heard it's something called Wild Card Weekend. Apparently there's teams that don't get byes, Mike. You know, I'm learning a lot more about the NFL year by year here. There were some games that we'll talk about a little bit later on that front. First, we'll get to what we know most, and that's clubhouse chatter, talking about what's going on in the world of golf and what happened last weekend. Mike, I'll let you recap it, and then I'll get my bragging in for the wonderful winner I picked in week one of 2019.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if we're going to recap this, we'll go straight into bragging, is that we picked the winner, and we were right. Xander Schauffele came in strong, finished hot with a 62, and became the first winner of 2019.
It was awesome, Mike. A 21-1 pick that I put out here on last week's episode. Also posted at Course of Life 1 on Twitter. I'm going to have a six-pack of picks coming up this week. It was an unbelievable performance from Schauffele on Sunday, Mike. Par 73, so that's 11 under. That's a course record for him as well. He hit a 278-yard high hard draw for his second yard shot into the par 5 18th. That was just absolutely perfect. Perfect the whole way. Two-putted for birdie to finish off an amazing round. Watched Gary Woodland just kind of slowly crumble away as the day went on, and lo and behold, we picked a winner to start week one. So ride the hot hand, and the picks for Sony Open are going to be hotly anticipated on the internet streets now. I've got a little bit of cachet in the golf betting world, I guess, right now.
Yeah, you know, it's just certainly making me want to get in on this action now as we get into 2019.
Got to.
Well, you know, the real question is, can you keep it going in week two of the 2019 season?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So we got the Sony Open at Wailea this weekend, Mike. Really interesting to see. A funny little flashback of all the real ones out there who had an N64 back in the day. There was a really crummy golf game for Nintendo 64 that was literally just a one-course golf game where you played Wailea Country Club, which is the home of the Hawaii Open, which you'll see this week on the Golf Channel. So for anyone who had that game, they know this course inside and out. I've played this course virtually about 500 times as a 10-year-old boy, Mike. So I have a lot of history with this venue, okay? So it's a good field, though, Mike. Jordan Spieth, Bryson, JT, a lot of others as well. I have a six-pack of picks. I'll give three of them to you right here, Mike. Mm-hmm. I told you in our 2019 preview, I love Jordan Spieth. I love him this year. I'm all about his putter getting hot. So I'm going to pick him at 15 or 14-1 this week to win. Obviously, Mike, got to ride with our boy Cameron Champ as my second pick at 29-1. And my third is my complete flyer is Jamie Lovemark, who's had good performances here in the past and plays well in the West Coast Swing early in the year at 125-1. Mike, I'll just leave everyone with those three. The next three will be up on my Twitter at Course of Life 1. So be sure to follow along for the full six pack of picks this week. The Sony Open should be a fun one.
Yeah, you know, the one other thing I'll say is I just kind of like the idea of Jordan Spieth doing well this weekend. He was a last second committing to this field. And you got to, you know, like most of us, that time you kind of go out one of the first times of the season when maybe you didn't think you were going to do it, and then you did. You don't have high expectations for yourself and you play better.
This is very true. Mm-hmm. Very true, Mike. It's the first round back thing. You know, when you haven't played for a few months and you just have no swing thoughts at all. The first five tee shots you hit are absolutely perfect because you're not thinking about anything. And that's when golf's the easiest. That's a definitely good no-brainer thought for Jordan Spieth heading into the week here at Wailea. So it should be a fun one. This is a really cool course, Mike. A lot of crosswinds, a little bit of a shorter course in a resort setting. We're going to get a lot of beach shots on the Golf Channel. We're going to get some dolphin shows, some guys going on some kayaks out in the water. It's going to be very tropical there. Should be a fun week of golf in Hawaii.
We certainly are looking forward to it. And when we do our episode next week, we'll talk about what happened. We'll see whether Jordan Spieth won. We'll see how you did in your picks, and we'll keep a running tally as we did with college football. Also next week, we'll share the interview that I had with golf course photographer Gary
Kelmer. That's
right. This guy who spent maybe more time with the Wanamaker Trophy than anyone else, just out there on the course with it. He'll share some stories about being a golf course photographer. So whether you just like those photos you see from the PGA Tour or promotion course shots of those courses, or whether you're even an amateur photographer and just want to hear a little bit more about what it's like to be doing that all day, every day, we'll have Gary Kelmer here next week on
Good
Course
Stuff.
Life.
Awesome. Good stuff. We'll be right back after this.
Course of Life, Michael, alongside Alex. And Alex, we're in the bizarro world because we were wrong completely, entirely, altogether, and Clemson didn't need to break anybody's legs. They just blew out Alabama and now are back-to-back champions. How crazy is this?
my credit to me for admitting that I was just dead wrong about this game. You and I both had Alabama rolling. They were 5.5-point favorites in this game. I thought that was going to be one of the easier bets I made of the year to cap off things in my college football betting season. I'll get to my results in a second, but just that game alone, Mike, bad vibes right off the bat for Alabama. They were able to get the stop quickly on defense, but Tua immediately throws a pick six for Clemson, just gifts them 7 right off the bat, and then the offense was off and running. Mike, I was really, really surprised in a good way with Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback for Clemson. This guy, he takes off his hair and he looks like a surfer dude that just stepped off Manhattan Beach in California. He has the look, he reminds me of Sunshine in Remember the Titans. He looks just like that guy, and he has an unbelievable arm. I've been doubting him for most of the season, but he really came through in the championship game. And yeah, Clemson, just with the shocker and the blowout. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and let's just talk real quick about how horrible the fake was by Alabama in the second half.
Oh, the fake field goal. They're down 31-16, I believe it was. So they're down 15. You knew that there really wasn't much to gain going from being down 15 to being down 12. There just really isn't much there in terms of what you gain. You're still 2 touchdowns regardless. You know, so you could smell it coming from a mile away, and it was just horribly blocked all the way. And you could tell that Alabama was reeling and just trying to find answers. They were trying to open up the bag of trick plays that weren't being bought into by the Clemson D. They were trying to go for too many home runs, trying to do it all too fast. Nick Saban was on his toes, and you don't get to see that very often. So if you're on the bandwagon where, you know, you hate the teams like the Patriots and Alabama who just win all the time, this was your night, because Clemson just absolutely lapped the Tide in the national championship. Shout out to Trevor Lawrence and the Tigers and Dabo Swinney for getting the big win. Tigers national championships, they got 2 of them now in recent years, so they're definitely the ones to be contending with Bama in future seasons. So that wrapped up the college football season, Mike. And it wrapped up my full season, in which I put out a detailed Twitter thread at Course of Life 1, and I talked a little bit about tracking every single bet, Mike, that I made throughout the college football season. It was actually quite a task just to track every single one, let alone post them all to my account. And it was quite a ride, to say the least. You got to see a little bit of it from the bird's eye perspective as well.
Yeah, you know, your in-depth talk about just betting in general was really eye-opening and insightful. And if I don't toot our own horn enough, it's something that really makes you want to listen to this podcast and watch your Twitter feed more.
Yeah, and I'm not a tout. I'm not a millionaire. I don't profess to be an expert at betting on sports by any means. I'm just an average guy who makes a very average salary and is just trying to bet a reasonable, non-ridiculous amount of money on sports to make it a little bit more interesting. And I kind of go into that in the thread, discussing, you know, the units that I kept of $10 to $15 for pretty much the entire season across the board, really tracking your plays and spreading them out across and learning about different conferences and watching different games. It gives you an appreciation for the sport on a kind of a next level. And overall, Mike, it was successful. I had 55.5% winners this year in 212 bets that I placed over the course of the college football season from August to Monday night's championship. Ended with a loss, but started with a bunch of wins, Mike. So overall, successful season, and we'll be back at it next August.
Indeed. And now our attention really will turn to the NFL. We just got through the wild card weekend. Just lots of craziness going on. Let's talk about the big one, which was everyone having their surprise face on when Chicago's field goal just nicked the uprights twice and didn't go through, giving this little team known as the Philadelphia Eagles a chance to get into the divisional round. Do you think we could see a Philadelphia-New England Super Bowl again?
Jesus, you're just throwing that out there. Just like, my stomach just turned over just thinking about that. The Philly magic is in full effect, especially after what went down on Sunday at Soldier Field. Mike, the double doink off the upright in the crossbar was just unspeakably bad from Cody Parkey.
It really was, and I think what's more about this that you need to look at, especially with some parallels going into last season, is look who's back under center. It's Foles. He's still playing great. It's like, why was he ever not the starting quarterback for this Eagles team to begin with? He's leading them back to the Super Bowl.
I know. It's such a conundrum, because they drafted their baby boy, Carson Wentz, I like to call him. He's their little redhead baby boy, and they love him so much. They got him with the top pick in the draft. They've been grooming him. He keeps getting hurt. Nick Foles keeps coming in and keeps winning Super Bowls and winning playoff games. I mean, you just can't argue with it when the backup is this red hot.
I'm going to bring this up now. I know we're extremely premature, but I'm going to say it anyway, is that if Nick Foles and this Eagle team goes deep again, if they're able to make it to the Super Bowl, not even win, let's just say they make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, you have to say that Foles has to be the starting quarterback next season. It has to be.
The funny thing, Mike, is people get this rap that they think Nick Foles is like a real grizzled veteran, but in reality, I think he's only about 3 or 4 years older than Carson Wentz, who they just drafted a couple years ago. So there really is time left to win more with Nick Foles. And if he's a guy that's producing like this in January and December when it matters the most, it's just one of those decisions I feel like you're just kind of compelled to make at that point if he is able to pull off this miracle. So the Eagles take that show to New Orleans, Mike. Saints have been dominant at home, dominant in domes. They're staying in a dome potentially all the way to the Super Bowl. It's Eagles at Saints, and on the other end of the NFC, it's Cowboys at Rams, Mike. Do the Eagles or the Cowboys, your NFC East foes, do either one of them have a chance to pull off the upset?
I feel like if anybody really does, I want to root for – I don't want to root for either of them.
Yeah, I know you don't.
Being a Giants fan. But I feel like I just love the full story. I just love the idea of a comeback team and a quarterback who was on the bench for most of last season and then came in and led them to the Super Bowl and again was on the bench again this season and is now starting and leading them deep into the playoffs again. You just want Philadelphia to win. But I feel like if I have to pick one of these two teams to win – this weekend, I have to go with Dallas because you're playing the Rams. You're playing a team that can't keep home field advantage even when they are at home. And you're just not playing New Orleans. There's something about playing in a home dome like New Orleans that's just intimidating. And so if you're Dallas, you love that you're playing LA because you know you bring some of the biggest fan bases when you're on the road. You know you're going to feel like you're almost in a home game here in LA.
Yeah, A, I just really want the Philly magic to end, so I'm with you riding on the Saints. And B, you're right. I'm just not sure if the Rams are completely ready. You remember last playoffs, they showed up pretty flat in their performance. They were one and done last season. So there's a lot to be proven on their end for the Rams, for guys like Jared Goff and Todd Gurley leading that franchise in the postseason moving forward. We switch over to the AFC real quick. It's time for the Patriots now. Took a few weeks off. I gave everyone a few weeks off because I knew we secured the bye. Patriots back hosting a red hot Philip Rivers and the Chargers, Mike, and also the Colts and Andrew Luck red hot as well, going into Arrowhead against the one seed, the Chiefs. Again, these are going to be two interesting games. I think the Colts not only have a shot to win that game straight up after their dominating performance over the Texans, Mike, but that Chargers and Patriots line is only a 4-point spread, so it's telling you they think both these games are going to be pretty competitive.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to believe that the Chargers are where they are right now, and you got to think that they don't have a kid under center anymore, so the Chargers are really resurgent. I feel like we're almost going back to a younger period when we see teams like the Chargers, the Patriots, and the Colts are in this conversation. We haven't seen New England and Indianapolis play in the playoffs in what I feel like is forever. So any matchup that they play next week, if it ends up being New England and Indianapolis, I mean, that's something to see if that rivalry is there with all these new players.
It is interesting. Kind of a little bit of a throwback group of quarterbacks and guys like Rivers, Breeze, you know, Brady, Foles that are produced, Andrew Luck that are producing this magic. His resurgence has been impressive. Mike, I'm loving the forecast for Sunday at Gillette Stadium. This is the one thing I think we do have going for us. Not only do the Chargers have to make that second flight back from the West Coast, back over the East Coast, how about 27 degrees and windy at kickoff at Gillette Stadium? So if you're at the LA Chargers, I don't think they're going to like that. So hopefully that can give us a point or two and the Patriots can edge their way into another AFC championship performance. It should be a great divisional weekend, Mike. I think traditionally this usually is the best and most competitive weekend of football when you get the variety of four games and eight teams who are all playing really well. It usually adds up to some magic for the NFL playoffs.
It certainly is, and we'll be keeping tabs on it. We'll be talking about it on Twitter this weekend, and we will talk more about what happened on next week's podcast. Let's do a real quick alma mater update. Let's talk Quinnipiac hockey. It was a rough weekend for the Bobcats. We dropped in the polls to number 6, just barely, but that's okay. It's still early. Still early. We did a loss and a tie on the weekend, but you know, I'm not freaking out quite now. But let's talk about women's basketball. Let's talk about how in MAC conference play, the Lady Bobcats have won both games by 45 points or more.
That's pretty damn dominant, no matter what conference you're in or what division you're in. If you're just repeatedly winning conference basketball games against, you know, relatively competitive teams by 40 plus points, you know you own your conference. So I'm not going to quite say it's time to move on up. I know you've maybe made suggestions to that recently. Yep. But let's just stay in the MAC just so we can be absolutely dominant in conference and squeeze our way onto that bracket every single year. And let's just I'll just take the 10 or 11 seed, Mike, because if we keep moving up in these conferences, you know, we're going to become just another one of the teams. So let's just continue to dominate the MAC like this. It's a fantastic start for the women's basketball program at Quinnipiac University.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock it quite now. Let's just keep going the direction we're going, and we'll take it from there. We'll take everything we can get. Speaking of taking everything you can get, you can take us on the road with you on your mobile device, which you're probably doing right now. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Play. And, you know, we try to keep these to right around 30 minutes, which means you can listen to us while you're on the driving range.
Yeah, it is. This is perfect driving range session material. I listened to last week's episode when we sat down with Chef Jazz. We talked about New Year's resolutions and dropped a healthy recipe on last week's episode. If you're needing something like that in your life right now and you're a salad person this time of year, which you know I am right now, it's salad season for a lot of people. So everyone, check out past episodes and future ones as well on your preferred podcast platform. Mike, again, next week, got that great conversation with a golf course photographer that has a fantastic Instagram account. We'll get much more into that and delve further into the NFL playoffs and a whole lot more on next week's edition of Course of Life. For Alex and Mike, have a good day.
Still. just want to party with our friends. Drink a couple drinks,
you know what I mean?
And smoke a couple blunts. You know what I'm saying?
Course of Life Podcast is a production of Course of Life, all rights reserved. This week's music selection from freemusicarchives.com is Pure Adrenaline by Eddie, and Something Elated by Broke for Free, and Irresistible by Sweet and Juicy, performed live at KBOO. Questions or comments, you can find Alex and Michael on Twitter at Course of Life 1 and at MWRINC.